Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like you to take a moment to greet your brothers and sisters that's here tonight. So glad to have everyone meet together again tonight. So go ahead and greet your brothers and sisters for a couple minutes here. Always encouraging to see the brothers and sisters meet and greet. Before I start tonight's lesson, I'd like you to join in and sing one verse of 648 with me. 648. Stand up for Jesus. 648. Let us sing. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished. For Christ is Lord indeed. Let the church say amen. Church say amen. Truly glorious and wonderful that God has allowed us another opportunity to come together once again on this first day of the week so that we may worship him in spirit and in truth. The Bible tells us in John chapter 4 and verse 24 that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Have you ever seen the program National Geographic or Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom? When they be showing the animals out there and everything, you know, a lot of times I can't tell the difference between some of the animals. I can't tell the difference between a deer or an antelope or an elk. I can't tell the difference between a crocodile or an alligator. I can't tell the difference between a cougar or a jaguar. But when I see an elephant, I know that's an elephant. Whenever you see a herd of elephants coming, you don't have to wonder, well, what is that coming? You know an elephant when you see one because they stand out. In the Old Testament, God wanted the Israelites to be different than the other nations. He wanted them to dress different. He wanted them to look different. He wanted them to stand out from the rest of the nations. God wanted the Israelites to stand out in the crowd, which brings us to the title of tonight's sermon, Standing Out in the Crowd. Standing Out in the Crowd. See, the Israelites were supposed to be separate from the rest of the nations. But God knew that there would be some in Israel that would want to go further. They would want to do more than what was anticipated, more than Israel. And he made this possible for them. He provided a way for them to do so. They were to make a voluntary vow to God. Not just any vow, but one that God would specify. And this was the Nazirite vow. Now, today we're going to see how the Nazirite vow compares to being a Christian in the Church of Christ today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. Verse number 1. And we'll begin our lesson there. Numbers, one of the first five books. It's the fourth book. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Fourth book of the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 6 and verse number 1. And it reads, "The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, if a man or woman wants to make a special vow, a vow of dedication to the Lord as a Nazarite." See, every child of Israel was to be separate from the nations. They were to be holy to the Lord. But this making this vow was going beyond what every Israelite was required to do. Now someone said, how does that compare with us today? As members of the Church of Christ in this Christian age, this is the highest expression of this desire. As members of the Church of Christ, we are authorized to go beyond what is required. We are authorized to go beyond in our giving, beyond in our prayer, beyond in our loving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. Now this is Paul talking about the Macedonians. "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. Matter of fact, in all aspects of our service to the Lord, we should go further than what is expected. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord." Not just coming to the grace and knowledge of the Lord, but also grow into the grace and knowledge of the Lord. So the Nazarite vow commanded a greater separation. Next, the Nazarite vow commanded a greater sobriety. In verse number 3. In Numbers chapter 6, it says, "They must abstain from wine and other fermented drink, and must not drink vinegar made from wine or other fermented drink. They must not drink grape juice or eat grapes or raisins. As long as they remain under the Nazarite vow, they must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, not even the seeds or skins." The Nazarite was to keep himself from all forms of the grape. And the priest was also from to keep themselves from alcohol. If you have your Bibles, go over one book back to Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 8. Back up one book, Leviticus chapter 10 and verse number 8. And Judges, well, you don't have to go here. Judges 13 and verse 7. Samson's mother could not even drink alcohol. And Samson wasn't even born yet. Just having a Nazarite in the womb. So this is very important to God, very important. Leviticus chapter 10, verse number 8. "Then the Lord said to Aaron, you and your sons are not to drink wine or other fermented drink whenever you go into the tent of meeting, or you will die. It did not say you will not drink or you will get sick. It did not say you cannot drink when you go in a tent meeting or you're not going to be able to come back again. It says you will die. This is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come." Verse number 10 says, "So," this "so" means why. Why? Someone said, well, why? Verse 10 says, "so that you can distinguish between holy and the common." between the unclean and the clean. See, you can drink today a lot. You can get so drunk today, you could walk off a bridge and kill yourself. Or you could just get a little tipsy and step off a curb and hurt yourself. Well, someone said, well, you know, this was for the priest then. This was for the priest he was talking to. Every member of the Church of Christ is a priest. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 6, speaking about Jesus Christ, it says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. We are all to be holy, discerning from the holy and unholy, and keeping ourselves sober. 1 Thessalonians verse 5 and 6 says, so then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. Therefore, the vow commanded a greater sobriety. The vow also commanded a greater distinction. The Israelites were not to look like other nations. In verse 5, Numbers chapter 6, it reads, during the entire period of their Nazirite vow, no razor may be used on their head. They must be holy until the period of their dedication to the Lord is over. They must let their hair grow long. Throughout the period of their dedication to the Lord, the Nazirite must not go near a dead body. They were to be without skin markings, the Israelites. And the Nazirites, they were to be without beard trimmings. Nazirites stood out. When you see a Nazirite, you knew right away that it was a Nazirite because they stood out in the crowd. You didn't have to guess when you saw a Nazirite. Nazirites were to look like Nazirites. Well, someone said, well, how does that compare with us today? Christians are supposed to look like Christians. We are not to look like the world. We are not to act like the world. And we are not to dress like the world. Turn with me one more scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 9. Now, in verse number 8, I'm going to paraphrase this. It just said, men should pray with holy hands, holding up holy hands. And 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, I also want the women to dress modestly. Now, does this mean the men don't have to dress modestly? No. With decency and propriety, adorning themselves not with elaborate hairstyles, or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds. appropriate for women and men who profess to worship God. So even women and men had to dress modestly, decency, and appropriate. Those who profess to worship God. So the Nazirite vow commanded three things: greater separation, greater sobriety, and greater distinction. Church, amen. Being a member of the body of Christ, the Lord's church commands greater separation, greater sobriety, and greater distinction. There are two types of organizations in the world today: the exclusive and the inclusive. Now, the inclusive is open for all. Anyone could join an inclusive organization without any restrictions. For the exclusive organizations, there are certain guidelines that must be met before someone can be a member of it. Brothers and sisters, the Church of Christ is an exclusive organization. Now, it is open for all. However, there are certain guidelines that must be met before you can become a member. And the guidelines have been set by the owner, Jesus Christ. And to become a member, you must first hear the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then you must believe what you have heard. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and the reward of those who diligently seek him. Then you must repent of your sins. Luke chapter 13, 3. Except you repent, you will likewise perish. Then you must confess the Lord Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Whosoever confess me before men, I will confess him before my Father in heaven. Then you must be baptized in the watery grave of baptism. Mark 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. There are a lot of members of the Church of Christ who were not raised in the Church of Christ. But one day, by the grace of God, they end up at the Church of Christ. This is not by accident. They were there because God put them there. And when they get in the Church of Christ, they say, well, you know, I believe the Bible is the word of God. And I want to be a part of this body of Jesus Christ. And then someone may ask them, well, have you taken the steps to be a member? And they say, yes. I say, have you heard? They said, yes, I heard. I said, you heard a doctrine, but not Christ's doctrine. And I said, well, have you believed? Yes, I believed. I said, you believed a gospel, but not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not speaking for all religious organizations at this time. But I was born and raised in a Baptist organization from the ground up. And I never heard the word repent until I came into the Church of Christ. Never heard it. In order to have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, you must have been taught to repent, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. So I never was taught it. And then I asked him, have you confessed? Yeah, I confessed. But was it before man or in front of the TV? You could turn on the TV every week and someone telling someone, if you say these words, you are saved. And then I ask, have you been baptized? And they say, yes, I've been baptized. But what order did it come in? In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, first they were supposed to go into the world and preach the gospel. First, he that believed the gospel. So first they had to preach the gospel, then you had to believe it, and is baptized. So first you had to hear the gospel, believe the gospel, then get baptized. And if you do these things in that order, three words will happen. And I think you know them. If you know them, say them with me. Thou will be saved. You know, when I obeyed the gospel years ago, I came to service that night, and I said to myself, you know, I'm going to obey, but I ain't going up there by myself. No, I ain't going. I just wasn't going to go. If nobody else was going up, I wasn't going. So I just sat there. They gave an invitation song, and I wasn't going. I sat in my seat until I looked up and saw a little fella about 13 years old go up. And when he went up, then I said, okay, I'll go up. Since he went up, I'll go with him. See? Now, there may be some here tonight that just don't want to go up. I don't know what, I might have just been nervous. But there may be some here that just don't want to go up by themselves. If you don't want to go up by yourself, just hold up your hand. Someone will walk up with you. Or I'll come walk with you myself. And you too will be able to stand out in the world and be a child of God. You could do it now as we sing the invitation song. Yield not to temptation.